You are beloved. Jesus Christ will speak to you, his beloved, from Proverbs 13, verse 12 this evening. And it is a message of hope. As I've mentioned, I've shortened the sermon title actually twice since I wrote it, as I had more time to consider the scripture. The message for you tonight is simply this: hold out hope. I want to encourage you and challenge you who may be struggling about hope and feeling like you can't wait any longer. Wait longer. Wait longer for Jesus Christ to do work in your life, and wait longer for Jesus Christ to come back for you and give you eternal life in the new heavens and earth. It's a message of hope tonight. And I would say that, again, I was planning on taking vacation and having us watch some video sermons, but with our guests, especially from the Netherlands, and that reunion, I couldn't do it. I had to preach. But I also had them in view, along with some other things, with the scripture. I particularly had the text this morning that we looked at, Psalm 127, on my mind. But I also had this, because we've been waiting a long time to see them. We've been really, I think you told us last fall that you were coming to see us, if not in the winter. And, you know, we've been talking about it a lot. We've been looking forward to it. We've been praying for you, and we were really looking forward to your trip, and it just seemed like it would never come. Is it June yet? Is it May or June yet? You know, and here you are, and it was worth waiting for. And there's that sense of waiting that's like, oh, I hope they still come, you know. And you're here, and it's great to see you. It's wonderful to see you, Herko, and now your lovely wife. You were such a special, just 1 year, but a special part of our life as the church. We talk about you often, and we miss you. And knowing you were coming to see us was a real blessing to us, real special for us that you would plan vacation to see us twice. And we did miss you, and we're going to miss you again. But the glorious promise about heaven is we'll all be together again one day. Maybe we'll persuade you to find a job here again. But there's lots of jobs. But I have that verse in view, and I also have in view my wife's trip to Boston recently for 9 days, which in some ways felt like eternity. I wasn't doing so good with it. I was hopefully faking it pretty well, but I was anxious for her return. I didn't like her gone. You know, I got a king size bed before our marriage, and I hate it when she's not here. It's too big. I want the little single or cot, you know. It's very lonely in that bed, and each day actually got harder, though I was more and more looking forward to her to return, and we were talking every day and writing and having video calls with her and the children, and even getting to learn that we're having a boy while she's in Boston. We were able to share that. It still got harder, and I was struggling, and I wasn't feeling good, and now I feel great. Her return makes me feel great. And that's kind of the idea of this scripture tonight, that often we're called on to wait, and that waiting can almost make us sick. But we're called on not to stop waiting. We're called on not to give up hope. Because while that hope is delayed, and that delay of the hope can make us yearn and long and get discouraged and struggle with the depression, wait, because in the end, it'll be given to you, and then having to wait longer just makes it all the better and sweeter when it comes. Let's look at the scripture together. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And I have to say, of course, that I particularly had this verse in mind, missing Fernanda. And I was thinking about how I felt sick, looking forward to her return. But that's normal, you know. I think in a way the Proverbs, they're teaching us something, but sometimes they're kind of saying like something that we can say, yeah, that's true. That's true. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. And that's true too. And I remember, I was remembering when I thought of that verse this week, missing her, I remember that she shared that verse with me. I don't know if you remember, Fernanda, but very early on when we were communicating, and I think we both knew pretty quickly, which is why we got married pretty quickly. We just knew, you know. And she shared with me that verse, this verse, because she had been hoping to be married for a long time and was almost giving up hope. And then for the first time, as you know, she prayed about it. And just a few weeks later, I introduced myself. Little did she or I know. In fact, it's interesting, you know, in a few days, it will be 1 year that Fernanda left Brazil to come to America. She's not even been in America 1 year yet. Little did she know she'd be here with us right now. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. I think what the proverb is doing for us is it's contrasting waiting and receiving. When you wait, it can make you sick, but then when you receive what you've been waiting for, it was so worth it, and the waiting even makes it more amazing, makes it more special. When you see the contrast of waiting for and receiving our heart's desire, when that's considered, the proverb says, wait for it. Wait for it. Sometimes, and I've thought of this as well, and it might have helped. I think thinking of this week. Okay, I was a lonesome baby sucking my thumb. I missed my wife. I thought of this quote: absence makes the heart grow fonder. And there's a truth to that. Presence makes it go a lot better. But there's an aspect of having to go a distance. And I'm looking forward to traveling soon on behalf of the church. But of course, I'm a newlywed. I'm not looking forward to traveling quite so soon. And I always miss my kids. And I always miss you all. But there's an absence. You know, when you're other places, you kind of realize even more what you have. And Fernanda even shared there was an aspect of that, you know, because she came out here thinking to go back to Boston, never went back to Boston. It was kind of nice to get some closure there and some clothes. We've been joking. Needed some pregnancy clothes, but also some closure to see her brother, to see her niece, to see her friends, people she didn't really get to say goodbye to. And as she was there, it was helpful because she says, you know, I realized in just even new ways, I know where my place is. I know where my home is now. I know where my family is now. And so there's an aspect of absence that makes the heart grow fonder. And similarly for us, you know, having her not there, you know, we have a wife and mother now, and she's not there, and we were missing her. And that was good. That's not a bad thing, because it makes us value even more what we have. And then when she returns, it's a happy time. It was fun to greet her at the airport. When you're getting close to that expectation finally happening, she flew from L.A. She got to L.A. early. I was like, I'm just going to drive up there, you know. But I wouldn't quite have gotten there in time. So, but when you're getting close, the joy starts to increase. The waiting is worth it. And then when you're reunited, when the nearness is restored from the absence, there's greater gratitude and there's greater growth to be had from it. And God is saying, wait. Wait for it. When he brings us through these times of distance or waiting or difficulties or just struggling, how long, O Lord? Wait for it. Hold out hope. Because when you receive the hope that you're waiting for, what's making you sick that you're waiting for right now, when you get it, you're going to be glad you waited for it. It will be so worth it. Just as we considered this morning, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, after a woman gives birth, she does not even remember how hard it was. She doesn't remember the difficulties because she's so happy for the joy of bringing a son into the world. And again, he was giving us an illustration of, so for you, when you get through the travails of being the church, when I come back for you and I deliver you from this world, you'll be so joyful. And all of those difficulties, you'll just glorify God. You'll see how he was your strength and he delivered you. And it will make it all the greater. You know, when we have to do something and it's not very hard, we don't always appreciate if we're doing well. When we have to work very hard at something and try very hard, then the victory is so much more glorious because of what we've had to get through. I mean, those are the stories we read about in books and watch in movies, right? The overcoming the difficulty, and then the victory is so much more amazing in retrospect and in contrast and comparison. So hold out hope. That's the message for you this evening. Hold out hope. That being said, expect to be disappointed. Expect to be disappointed by God's timing and plan to wait it out. Expect to be disappointed by God's timing and plan to wait it out. His timing is often not our timing. Don't you find yourself saying in life sometimes, this is not what I planned. This is not how I saw this going. This is not when I thought it was going to happen. You know, and you have to just expect that. Many times there's going to be detours and delays and surprises, and you need to expect to be disappointed. Not ultimately, but in the moments, because you're not God and you don't know what's best for you. And He has a timing that is not your timing, and you have to expect that your timing, your plans, will often be disappointed. And the way you handle it is you have to wait it out. When I flew to Boston to meet Fernanda, and please excuse me, I have all these illustrations overlapping, but I'm a newlywed, bear with me here. When I flew to Boston to meet Fernanda back in right at the end of February, I think it was the end of February, no, early March, right? We flew back on March 5th, so I met her in February. Well, you can imagine I was pretty excited. And I know you guys were too. You all were too, and the children were excited. And she was excited too, although at the airport she got all quiet on me and nervous for a while. So, but when I flew to Boston, I flew through Maryland. And when I got to Maryland, I was so excited because I planned the trip that I was going to get there early enough in the evening that I could take Fernanda out for coffee or something and spend a little time getting acquainted face to face. After all, we've only been talking for a couple of weeks. Had lots to learn and get to know each other. And in Maryland, for some reason, they changed the plans with my plane, and I had to wait 4 hours in Maryland. No! And so I got there a day later, technically. It was after midnight when I finally got to Boston. So I pretty much had to drive her home. What a letdown, you know. I mean, of course, I was delighted to meet her and got to see her all that week. But I waited. I didn't say, forget it, I'm going back to San Diego, you know. This is not what I wanted. I don't want to wait 4 more hours after flying across the country. But of course, I'm going to wait to meet Fernanda, you know. And thankfully, she waited for me. I said, hey, I understand, you know, maybe you want to go to bed, and I'll just go straight to my brother-in-law's, and I'll meet you in the morning. But no, she was willing to take an Uber and meet me there, and which, of course, I was really glad. I really wanted her to, but I didn't want her to feel bad, you know. And I was excited, but I was also disappointed, and I was exhausted. But I waited, and that's what the word hope is really telling you to do. Wait. See, hope is something you don't have. And when you have hope for something and it's delayed, you're waiting longer. Hope is an expectation for something you don't yet have. And hope deferred, the word deferred, it's not that it's destroyed. Your hope isn't gone. It's just delayed. It's drawn out. It's dragged out. But you think about that dragged out. You know, sometimes it can just feel like, oh, could we please hurry this up? It's like you're dragging this huge bag and it's slowing you down. That's the idea of being deferred. It's not denied, but it's delayed. And there's good reasons for it, but you don't know why. And you just have to trust God and wait some more. Hold out your hope. Don't give up your hope. But the effect is, during that delay of hope, during that long layover, like in an airport, you get tired, you get weak, you get exhausted, you get sick. Maybe you could say heart sick. I was feeling heart sick this week. You know, I appreciate this proverb because I think it's just kind of stating the fact. It's encouraging us with what the contrast is that's coming next, but it's stating the fact. When you have to wait for what you're hoping for, it can really be difficult. That's okay. Thank you, God, for saying that to us. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean you're not a good Christian. It's hard to wait. It's hard when you're hoping. It can make you sick But we need to also recognize that because we need to know what to do with it and what not to do with it. And we need to recognize that we're longing and yearning because we're waiting for something we don't yet have, but we will. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8, 24 to 25. You see, just another scripture that's helping us understand that hope means you don't have it yet. We have hope for what we don't have yet, and then what are we to do for it? It says exactly this again, patiently wait for it. It's going to maybe make you a little bit sick, but what do you have to do with that? Let patience have its perfect work and wait for it. You're often going to have it. Again, it's not that it's denied, it's delayed. Many times you're going to need to patiently wait through unseen detours, unseen delays. You're already on your trip, you've already invested, and you just need to wait. But don't give up. I think that's really what the proverb is encouraging us tonight. It's stating the reality, and then it's telling us what to do. It's giving us motivation and encouragement to keep holding out with hope. Don't give up on God, for your time is in his hands, and his timing is perfect paradise. Expect to be disappointed by God's timing and plan to wait it out, but don't give up on God. Your time is in his hands, and his timing is perfect paradise. All right, another illustration with Fernanda. This time it's her bag. So we picked her up in San Diego Friday night, and she was really concerned because I guess you wouldn't call it a turnstile, the baggage machiney thingy. I don't know if you call that a turnstile. You know, all of a sudden, we're just one of a few people left standing there. We got the big bag. Where's the little bag that she bought with all of the presents for us, by the way? You know, where is it? And then, no more bags are coming. Where's her bag? Well, then we went over to the airport office, and we're looking for it. And thankfully, we turned out we knew where it was, in Los Angeles still. You know, I don't know why or how, but so they delivered it the next day to us. But at the time, she was pretty concerned, understandably. I said to her as we were driving away, because it was late, she said a 9-hour trip, and she is pregnant, she gets tired, understandably. I said, it's God's gift to you, Fernanda, that it's not coming tonight, because you got to go to bed. And I know the children, and I know you. You're not going to be able to go to bed until you've given them all their presents, and then you're never going to get to bed. You're going to be up all night. And so it'll come in the morning when you're rested, and then we can open presents and not be tired, and that was a gift of God. And it came the next day, the wait was over, and it was forgotten. But there was a purpose to it, I believe, to give her some extra rest. And as you can imagine, she was very happy. I was in the other room, and I heard the bag arrive. Yay, it's arrived! Everybody sounds happy, and that was great. It was done. When the desire comes, the proverb says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is going to come. The sermon message was originally going to be, if you see in your bulletins, your hope deferred shall come and grow. Your hope deferred shall come and grow. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. It's going to come when the desire cometh. As you're waiting and hoping for it, it'll make you sick. But it's coming. And when it comes, it's like a tree of life. Well, think about a tree of life. Obviously, in the Garden of Eden and what we're told we'll eat of again in the Revelation, that's pretty significant, isn't it? The tree of life is what we're waiting, we're hoping for. We will eat of it, the tree of life that has leaves that heals the nations. And even here, hope deferred, when it comes, it's like a tree of life. Matthew Henry says, it's almost like this. When we get what we've been hoping for that's made us sick, then when we get to eat and enjoy of it, it's like a garden of pleasure. It's a sort of paradise. And that's what you want to remember. When it comes, and it's coming, when it comes, you don't know when. Now, naturally, I can't guarantee everything you're hoping for. But if it isn't exactly what you're hoping for, God will give you something better, and you'll know it when it happens. But when it comes, it'll be like paradise to you. It'll be so good and happy. It's like, it's come, no more waiting. And you will enjoy it. And it'll be even more special and happy to you because you had to wait for it. You know, when Fernanda was waiting for her suitcase, I mean, she would have been glad, oh, great, there's a suitcase, grab it. But we had to wait for it to be delivered from the airport, having flown by itself from LA to San Diego the next day. Then when it came, it was like, yay! You know? And so sometimes the Lord lets us wait longer so we're more happy and we enjoy it more than we would have. Is that such a bad thing? That God would cause you more joy and more life and happiness by having to wait for it than you might have otherwise? Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 in part. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. What that's essentially communicating is hope will not disappoint you. You have a hope that will not disappoint you. You won't be ashamed later looking like you were a fool that you were holding out your hope. You won't be ashamed. What you're hoping for ultimately in God and Christ's return as Christians, you will not be ashamed. But he's letting you have tribulations and all kinds of things to cause you patience experience, which will bring you hope. You'll learn how to have more hope the more you learn how to be patient and experience these things, the more you learn how to wait. Proverbs 10:28, the first part. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, like a tree of life. Hebrews 6:17 through 20. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, before we continue, remember what you just sang in Psalm 46, be still and know I'm God. I know what it looks like, but be still and know I'm God. And what did it say three times? God is our refuge. God is a refuge for us. So here it says, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. But it's before us. We're looking forward to it, but it's something that won't make us ashamed. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So as you're hoping in Christ, you're hoping in him for your salvation into the promised land. But on the way through the wilderness, you're hoping in Christ for his providence to provide for you, to meet your needs, trusting truly that if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What will anchor you in this life? Hope. When we lose hope, we are in great danger. To others, but especially to ourselves, hold out hope. It's an anchor for your soul. Well, let's just think about that image for a moment. An anchor is what keeps a boat from drifting away, out to sea, lost at sea forever. Hope is your anchor in this life. Hope is what will keep you from drifting away far from God and his people. Hope is what will help you make it through each day when you lose hope, you will give up. And the proverb is saying, don't give up. Hold out hope. Don't give up hope. Hope is everything. It's the anchor. It's set before us, and it is sure and steadfast. So let God work these things of tribulation to give us more patience, to give us more experience, so we have more hope, because that's how we get it. It's one of those things, again, like patience, you know. I always think of Miss Cervantes. She always says, please give me patience, and please give it to me now. You know? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, and that's why it's funny. We know, right? You know. Don't you find yourself often like, oh, this hurts. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, just take it away. Or just make me not have trouble. Well, the way that you're going to get to a place where it isn't so hard is to learn how to have more hope, to anchor your soul. And the experience of difficulties and waiting is how you get there. That's life, you might say. But this is how God helps us live life and survive. Sorrow not even as others which have no hope. See, that's the other thing to recognize, Christian. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Christians are crying out, Lord, what about those who have died before us? Will they be there at the resurrection? And we're told, yes, don't worry. Their bodies will be raised before you're even raised up. And we're being encouraged, especially as we think about our loved ones in Christ who've gone before us. We're being encouraged to have hope. See, how do you get through that, of all things? Hope. But notice he's saying the world doesn't have this hope. Just like the world does not have Christ's peace, the world does not have Christian hope. All the world has to look forward to is hell. Imagine that, absolutely no hope. That's a scary life to live, and it's not your life. You have hope. May it grow and anchor you. Don't give up hope. You know, I was thinking about this. It was profound for me this week. You understand, it's just everything so profound to me. About a year and a half, I was wondering, maybe more now, will I have a wife again? Will my children have a mother? And I tried to keep hoping as I looked for about a year. And after disappointment, which brought me around the world, and some of them were extremely humiliating for me and my children, I started to lose a little hope. I started to get ready to quit. And then I just had to keep saying to myself, you've got to trust God, and you've just got to keep trying. Don't give up hope. Because if she's out there, it's going to be worth it. But you can imagine, I hated the process. I hated the process of looking. It was no fun. I felt sick most of the time. And then she smiled back at me. And yesterday was really special because, you know, the children just started piano this fall. And when they started, it was a little melancholy for me because I didn't have a wife to share it with. And I hoped maybe one day I would, but I kind of anticipated that piano recital, as so many things I've been doing. I don't mean to sound like a baby, but just to help you know, I've lived this, I'm living it, and I can say it's true. I felt sick for a long time, and imagined myself once again going to a piano recital, the next new thing the children are doing, by myself. And it makes you a little sick. You know, you're hoping one day there'll maybe be a wife and mother to share that with. And yesterday, Fernanda sat at my side, holding my hand, except for the times proud Papa had his camera videotaping. You know. And enjoyed the piano recital with us. And here's what I want to encourage you about. I didn't have to wait nearly as long as I was expecting. At least in terms of the end of the year and early this year. You know, I said to her, wow, this facility that we're at for the piano recital, we were here in January for the children's concert with choir. No way did I expect to be sitting here in early June, the only next time I've ever been here, with a wife. It's amazing to me. I can't believe it. And as we said to her, it's so much better. It's so much better. And now that she's here, I don't have that same kind of loneliness sickness. And even when she's, if she would have been away, it would be different, because I know she's there, she'll be back. I can share and talk about it with her. It was amazingly joyful, and she enjoyed it. It was such a nice time, and all these cute little kids, you know. Of course, we're noticing the little boys right now, you know? But also the little girls. Que fofino, que fofina. And when what you have been hoping for that is making you sick, and you have to wait longer, and you have to go through things you weren't anticipating, and you almost give up hope, and that makes you sick. When it comes, if you don't give up hope, the proverb wants to encourage you, I believe, when the desire of your heart comes. It's like a tree of life. Before we stop on that thought, I want to remember something. Would you turn with me to Psalm 37, please? I'm remembering something that Mrs. Renner said to me a few weeks ago, and it was the one about crying out to God. It's okay to cry out to God. We looked at Hannah crying out for baby and how we identified with that and did the same, and God provided and didn't make us wait long like we expected again. You know, sometimes you don't have to wait as long as you think if you just don't give up hope. You cry out to God. Psalm 37, let me go ahead and start with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I believe it was that verse 4, if I'm not mistaken, that you mentioned to us. She was thinking about it that whole sermon. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Now, it needs to be a biblical desire, and it needs to obviously rest upon him, and we need to ask, or he might make it delay longer. You have not because you ask not, but he'll give us the desire of our heart as we delight in him, and we're looking for people to delight in him with. I was looking for a Christian wife, and I was very compelled by Fernanda's biography. I can tell she really loves Jesus. I also did say to her, I can tell you look a little lonely and sad, but you look more sincere than a lot of these women, frankly, who seem to be pretending to be Christians to me. And the Lord answered both of our longing and brought us hope. And wow, when it comes, you find yourself saying, I can't believe it. We keep saying, I can't believe we're having a baby. You know, I can't believe I'm having a boy. Someone told her she'd be a pastor's wife one day and have a boy. She had to wait a long time. And she almost gave up hope. The proverb is encouraging you, don't give up hope. Don't, beloved, don't stop hoping. I think one of Satan's biggest things he's doing is to try to get you and me to stop hoping, to give up hope. When we have no hope, we stop trying. That's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what he wants us to do as this little church. Stop hoping. Every delay, every detour he allows us, the Lord Jesus allows us, as we see in Romans 5, is to give us more patience and more experience and more hope, and that hope is not going to make us ashamed. And it's an anchor for our soul collectively as a church as well. Don't give up hope. And remember this, what it's really all about again, what this is mainly really all about, how this can particularly and completely and for sure be fulfilled for you, is that this is mostly about heaven and the resurrection and the new heavens and the new earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 3, verse 15, this hope that you have that you need to be ready to give an answer for, it's the hope of heaven and the resurrection. You are not going to be ashamed. You are not going to be a disappointed Christian. And don't you sometimes feel like giving up hope? Don't you just want to go to the world? Because a lot of days it feels like it would be easier when you keep waiting. You'd be more included. Don't you feel like maybe as a church we should just settle down and not have the same scruples and just do what everybody else says so we could just fill this place? Some of you are shaking your head, looking at me like I'm crazy. Good, I'm glad. Well, then you're more holy than I am, because I'm a human being. Don't you sometimes feel like maybe we should just compromise? Hold out hope. God gives reformations in his timing. Consider the Reformation, how long it took. One thing that we're reminded when you study church history, the Reformation did not happen quickly. We see it brought together tightly in our storybooks, but it happened over centuries. Little by little, certain people started reading the Bible again and asking questions and thinking. The Reformation didn't happen quickly, but it happened. May now be the time of Reformation. Don't give up your hope. And ultimately, don't give up your hope to serve the kingdom of heaven and trust that you will be rewarded. God is not unjust, the Bible says. He will reward you. Matthew Henry writes this about the verse, "It will aggravate the eternal misery of the wicked that their hopes will be frustrated. And it will make the happiness of heaven the more welcome to the saints that it is what they have earnestly longed for as the crown of their hopes." Beloved, hold out hope. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are our refuge, and we hope in you, and our hope in you will not make us ashamed. May you grow our hope as you cause us to wait for all different things in life, and especially for the life to come. Because you're always doing something in us. You're always making us better. You're working on us. You're changing us. You're growing us more to the image of Christ and less like the world. And this is for our good. May you grow hope in us as you do these things. And may it indeed be an anchor to our soul that we would not be adrift at sea, lost and lonely, parched and perishing. And that we would not be like the man that James warns about, tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine. Lord, let us be anchored with this hope of the resurrection that is true and that will not disappoint us. And Almighty God, we lift up to you the things that are making us sick that we're waiting on and hoping for. It is right and good that we would trust and hope that you will provide. We can hope in your providence. We don't know what it is. We don't know when. But it is good for us to hope, to hold out hope, to not give up on hope so that we do not give up. For you do use the means of providing us our hopes. Let us delight in you, that you would give us the desires of our heart. May they be desires you have put on our heart, biblical desires. And, O Lord, as we lift up to you, whatever is a deferred hope right now as we wait and it makes us sick, we offer it up to your throne. We cast our cares upon you because you care for us and you can bear our burdens better than we. And we trust that in due season you will reward us and we will reap if we faint not. And when there is a harvest, the tears of sowing will be turned into singing and rejoicing and dancing. And because we have had to suffer long, we will sing more strongly. We will rejoice more deeply because we will better appreciate answered prayer. So, Lord, thank you for letting us wait. Thank you for teaching us patience and experience of hope, that we'd have more of it. Thank you, Lord, that there will be answered prayers, even as we saw with Elizabeth this morning, and they were all rejoicing. Let us hold out hope, Almighty God, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, encouraged by this anchor that it will not disappoint us, for you will not disappoint us. Whatever your answers are, you will help us to understand. Oh Lord, ultimately, help us not to lose the hope of glory. What more could we hope for than glory? To see your kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven perfectly, and to be part of this righteous kingdom where righteousness will reign, and there'll be no more yearning or hoping to get out of this or that situation or this or that difficulty or persecution. It'll all be gone. This is the true gospel. Help us to hold out hope for heaven and trust that you will give it to us. We, the meek, by your grace, will inherit the earth. Keep our eyes on you, O Lord. Help us to set our affection on things above and not on earthly things. That is, help us to hope. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the glory of the Father, and by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that groans for us when we have no words and helps us yet still hope. And we praise you. And all your people said, Amen.